You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Carmel Cipollone has just been appointed as Aotearoa's first ever Pacifica Deputy Prime Minister. I spoke to Associate Professor of Māori and Pacific Studies, Jemima Tiatia, and the Associate Dean Pacific at the Faculty of Health and Medical Sciences, Sir Colin Tuku-i-Tonga, who are both from the University of Auckland, about what this historic appointment means for our Pacific communities in Aotearoa and our country. First, here is Jemima Tiatia.
I think for Pacific communities, it's significant in that aspiring young Pacific women can see themselves in some of those governance areas. And politics isn't exactly the vocation for all, but you know, to see that it is possible, I think that's a huge positive. And for the country, I mean, it speaks for all women, even though, you know, the former PM, Jacinda, had stepped down for probably many, many reasons, but one of those that's highlighted in the media is around the trial and the misogyny that she had received in her term. To have Carmel appointed and for her to take up that mantle in light of all that speaks volumes. And it also speaks to her grunt and her resilience as a leader. So, I mean, it has huge benefits. And I know she's not, the Labor Party isn't the most popular at the moment, but with both of them at the helm, I think there's some real drive and strong leadership.
Based on your understanding, can you tell us a bit about Carmel Cipollone's political career so far and what some of her key achievements have been?
I'm not too well versed in her policies, but she's been around for a while, and I think between 4 to 5 terms. She's a stalwart and she's solid. I think too she comes from a place that the average New Zealander may be able to relate to. We also saw some of the drama around the benefit fraud. Of a loved one, and I don't mean to bring that up again to destroy her reputation anyway, but to speak to it, to give volume to it, and that she understands what the average New Zealander may be going through, and she's been in and around the Pacific circles for a long time, so I'm happy she's there because she is, like I said, very resilient. She's a tough cookie, and it means it's such an amazing appointment and a celebration for Pacific communities and Pacific women or women of colour in general.
And there's been a bit of criticism against Labor for passing over a Pacifica or a Māori member for the top job of Prime Minister. What do you think has contributed to there not being a Prime Minister or before Carmel Cipollone, a Deputy Prime Minister of either Māori or Pacifica descent before?
That's a huge question and probably one that I'd open myself up to for criticism myself. But, it's systemic. There are larger issues at play. We all know what those issues are. That political game is still being played out, and it has been for centuries, you know. And so without saying too much, there's still a lot of work to be done, especially with our minorities, with our tangata whenua. You know, and is New Zealand bold enough to make those appointments, to have our very first person of colour as the Prime Minister of this country? I'm not too sure. Hopefully in my lifetime, I mean, we're seeing the growth in the political parties themselves with that diversity. So I don't see it too far away, but it is something that a lot of people are calling for.
With her background as the Minister of Social Development and also being our first Pacific Deputy Prime Minister, do you have any ideas about what sort of influence she may have on policy for the future of the Labor Party?
I think her deep insight into that aspect, or I guess the population that impacts the most in terms of social issues and economic issues. Like I said, she's on the ground. She's lived it herself. She's come from an upbringing as the average New Zealander has. And although there has been some criticism about her not doing enough while she was in that role, I seem to see it, I guess, flourish in other areas, particularly in education. In all the spaces I've been in, she's there. She's a huge support. I couldn't tell you. It'll be interesting to see what will happen in the reshuffle on Friday when they announce that. I'm looking forward to that and probably give a probably well-informed response, I suspect.
Then I spoke to Sir Colin Tuku'i Tonga about why he believes Sipiloni's appointment is a positive sign for Pacific health.
Well, firstly, I think it's tremendous for Carmel and her whānau. I think it's great for New Zealand that we are seeing more diversity in our political leaders. I am personally hopeful that Carmel Sipiloni as Deputy Prime Minister might advance, accelerate, make some courageous decisions with regard to some of the chronic health inequities that we see in New Zealand, particularly for Māori and Pacifica people. I mean, obviously, there's a Minister of Health and others, but Deputy Prime Minister, I would imagine, would have some sway, some influence in decisions, investment decisions by the government in the health area.
Why is it so important for there to be Pacific leaders when it comes to addressing Pacific health issues?
Well, I think it makes a difference that people in the decision-making roles are of Pacific heritage and origin. They will have the cultural awareness and knowledge, sensitivities about what motivates Pacific communities to do something or not do something. They have extensive knowledge and networks in those communities. So they have that extra edge in terms of knowledge and awareness of the challenges, I guess, and how people think about health problems and how they might react. So it does offer, I think, some additional benefit. I mean, obviously, there are some core health challenges for everyone, but I think given our inability, I think, to address these inequities, I'm hopeful Carmel will have more influence in assisting this process going forward. I think it's important because the Pacific Associate Minister of Health responsible for Pacific Health Outcomes, Aupito Williams-Yor, is stepping back this year as well. So I just think it's really important that there's some continuity.
There are many inequities in our public health system, particularly for Māori and Pacifica. What are some improvements that you're hoping to see in our health system in the next few years?
Well, I'm particularly concerned about tamariki, you know, our children and young people, Atahi and tamariki. So if you look at rheumatic fever, for example, as a particular problem in Māori and Pacifica children and young people, and I think we should address the conditions that lead to acute rheumatic fever and rheumatic heart disease because it is a totally preventable disease. So I'm focusing on children and young people. I think there's increasing concern about mental health of young people, particularly rangatahi, and that we as a country respond effectively. In the adult base, the biggie, of course, is always diabetes and heart disease, and diabetes leads to kidney dialysis and all of those horrible outcomes. So I'm hopeful that we start to address the common and most pressing problems like diabetes.
What was your advice for the government, or I suppose heading into election year, for any incoming government to go about addressing some of these inequities?
The Māori Health Authority is resourced and supported because I do think, you know, we've been through a series of health reforms in the past. They don't always deliver what we hope, but I do think the Māori Health Authority is an innovation that if it's resourced and supported, it could affect real change for Māori in particular. So I'm hopeful that those kinds of interventions are supported. And in the Pacific space, there is a health plan that's been promulgated. I hope the plan is resourced and implemented because, you know, we've written and have had several plans in the past that haven't really achieved what we had hoped. So I'm hopeful that we continue to invest to support interventions for improving Pacifica health in Aotearoa.
To the best of your knowledge, how has Carmel Sipiloni been involved with Pacific health or Pacific communities throughout her time in Parliament?
Well, pre-Parliament, Carmel was involved. She was the CEO of a health research organisation. She was involved in social development activities. She has extensive networks in the community. She's extremely well-known in her electorate in Kelston area, and of course amongst the professional networks of Pacifica people. She has an education background, so she's got both the health and education experience pre-Parliament. And since being in Parliament, of course, she's had a difficult role in the social development portfolio, and I imagine she would have learned a few things in that portfolio. I certainly think Carmel has the knowledge and background to address the issues, perhaps with the added strength, I guess, or kudos of being the Deputy Prime Minister. I just think it's tremendous, as I say, for Carmel and her family. But I also think it's great for the Pacifica community. Naturally, it'll raise expectations, and I hope people are realistic about that. And it's good for us, for our country, that Carmel will partner up with Chris Hipkins and keep the momentum going of the achievements that we have had in recent years, particularly in Pacific health, education and housing.
That was the University of Auckland's Jemima Tiatia, followed by Sir Colin Tukuitonga, with their thoughts on Aotearoa's new Deputy Prime Minister, Carmel Sipiloni.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.